In the Sermon on the Mount, in the parable of the sower, Jesus describes four different types of hearts. And one of those hearts is someone who accepts the scriptures and with great joy receives the scriptures, but doesn't understand or realize that even though we're on the winning side and even though life is going to be wonderful once we get through this life, there are some terrible situations that Christians are going to have to go through, discouraging things and difficult things and trials and tribulations and persecutions. And so Jesus wants to warn us that the excitement and the intensity of being a Christian, the with great joy, matter of fact, let's just go look at the scripture itself. Jesus says, "He that was sown upon the rocky places hears the word and straightway with joy receives it." He's excited, he's happy, he's thrilled. And I just covered this material with Prince the other night, and I told him, you know, these hearts are not fixed. They're not like ground in the soil. If there's big rocks in the ground, there's not a whole lot that someone can do about it. But with the power of the gospel, if we have these rocks and we're aware of the danger, we can get busy, as he goes on to say that in the next slide, if we have endurance or perseverance, then we can handle that. Oh, is my projector not on? Oh, it's not on at all. Okay. Oh, is it on?
Now it is. Yeah, it's green.
Okay. All right. Well, sooner or later, it'll catch up. Uh-oh, now it's gone for me too. As it works its way around. Okay, now I've lost my train of thought. So let's back up a minute. I was talking to Prince the other day, and I told him that hearts are not fixed in the Sermon on the Mount. You can have a hard heart, but if, as Peter describes that wife in 1 Peter chapter 3, who without a word, by her behavior, is slowly breaking down that hardened heart, and it says that even without a word, by the behavior of his wife, that can be changed. And so the hardest of hearts, if people are patient and they continue to work, sometimes that can change, or something can happen, and someone that you never would have thought of might be interested in the gospel. Suddenly, a terrible tragedy comes along, and you have an opportunity. And like I say, hearts can be changed. And so, some of us have more endurance than others. I mean, I watch these football players, and I watch these people who can endure so much pain. And I look at that, and I think to myself, you know, there's not a lot of people in the world who can handle the kind of pain and deprivation and difficulties that some of these people are going through. But in the scriptures, there's a way for us to develop that. So Jesus describes, both in Matthew and in Luke, this individual who has a heart that doesn't have any root in himself. He's one of those fair weather kind of people that, as long as things are going well, as long as things are going fine, they'll be a member of the church, they'll be your friend, they'll work in this particular occupation, they'll do this particular hobby. But then when difficulties come, problems come, it gets tough, some people get frustrated, some people get exasperated, some people get depressed. And as it goes on to say, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbles. Now notice that it's because of the word. And I think that may be the most difficult thing. A lot of people expect that when you hold the truth and you're doing what's right and you're on God's side, that the Red Sea is just going to open up before you and life is just going to be something that is going to be easy. And churches are going to be faithful to the Lord, and every brother that you meet is going to continue to be faithful, and it just doesn't work that way. It just isn't that way. The devil is working. And so, as Luke puts it, when they've heard the word, they receive the word with joy, but they have no root, who for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. But this term perseverance that Peter says we're to add to our faith, that James says that we've read of this perseverance in the prophets, and we've seen the perseverance of Job, and we've seen the end result of the Lord. And so this seed in the good soil is the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Because this same individual is going to have to deal with the thorns. the same individual is going to have to deal with the rocky soil, because everyone gets tribulations. As Barnabas and Paul were exhorting the people on their first missionary journey, they said, with many tribulations, we must enter into the kingdom of heaven. So God doesn't promise an opening of the Red Sea and an easy walk as a Christian. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they listen to me, they're going to listen to you. If Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, if Jesus was confronted with situations where people wanted to leave him and people were betraying him, and in the Garden of Gethsemane he was dealing with situations that were just so agonizing, we certainly can't expect that that's not going to happen to us. And so we have to look sometimes at ourselves, and we have to think to ourselves, what would happen if? And how would I handle that? This is good meditation. It's just preparing for the future. Thinking about, meditating on certain events, certain circumstances, and how would we handle that? And so perseverance is a gift that God has given to us to overcome the danger of falling away. I don't want to fall away. I don't plan to fall away, but I've certainly seen enough people in the scriptures that I recognize it's not something I need to be terrified of, but it is something we all need to be concerned about. Because, like Peter told Jesus, if everyone else falls away, if everyone else leaves you, I'll remain. But boy, when he was confronted with those events that he had no idea were coming, he fell, just like Jesus said, denied him three times, went out, wept bitterly. Fortunately, the Lord had already offered his forgiveness, and the Lord had already encouraged him. And with Peter's perseverance, he picked himself back up and he continued on and did well. The Greek word perseverance, really a basic, simple term. It just means to remain under. It just means to stay under difficulties and not run away. Stay under difficulties and not get discouraged. Stay under difficulties and just keep on doing what you know you're supposed to be doing, even though there are troubles and problems that arise. Same thing with the verb here, steadfastness, constancy, endurance. This is the person that you just know they're always going to be there. And you hear something terrible happen to them, and you understand this person will bear up under that. I know them. I have confidence in them. I've watched them through the years. We have high expectations of our brethren. We need them. We can't have them falling away one after another when somebody dies or some terrible event occurs. We need to be able to count on people. And you and I, the Lord needs to be able to count on us. Now, the Lord knows what we're capable of bearing, and he promises he'll never put us into a position that we couldn't bear. Our problem is sometimes we don't have the faith and we don't have the understanding. Yes, you could have borne that. Peter could have borne that. There were certain things Peter could have done. He could have never gone in there in the first place, and then he would have easily borne it. But he decided he wanted to go right into the heat of the battle, right next to where the Lord was being betrayed, right where the Lord could actually look at him after he did all of this. Now, most people would not put themselves into that kind of a situation unless they knew that they could handle it. And Peter, of course, had a false sense of his own security. In James chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." What about Moses? Remember when Moses came to the Lord and he said, "Lord, if you really love me and you really pity me, would you please take my life? Because this job is so difficult that it'd be better for me to not be alive anymore." Can you imagine? Have you ever felt like that? Elijah said the same thing to God. I've fought against Jezebel. I've stood up against, and I'm the only one left. And now, please just take my life. Now, these are people. Now, of course, they got over their difficulty. God gave them the encouragement they needed. God needed them, gave them what they needed. But we count them blessed who endured. You know, when the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11 that Moses endured the ill treatment with the people of God, who were they? You know, the thousands of men, the 600,000 men that came out of Egypt, how many were standing with him? When it talks about the ill treatment of people of God, I think it's not talking about he decided to suffer ill treatment with the other Jews, because that's not what it's referring to. It's referring to what you and I understand, and that is when you decide you're going to be a devout Christian regardless of the consequences, you're going to stand alone a lot of times, sometimes even among people you consider to be your brethren, and that's what happened to Moses. And that's what happened to Elijah. And that's what happened to most of the prophets. Jeremiah was so excited to be able to go and work and just show people where they were wrong. And it didn't take him long to find out. It wasn't ignorance. That's not why they were doing what was wrong. And then they turned on him and they started mocking him and making fun of him and persecuting him. And so this is just part of it. Jesus said a man's foes are going to be among your own household. And even your most familiar friends sometimes, as Jesus found, will turn on you. Now, what are we going to do when that happens? Well, we count them blessed who endured. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, God says that all chastening seems not for the present to be joyous, but grievous. But afterwards, it yields peaceable fruit to those who are willing to remain under it long enough for that to happen. But this is the difficulty. Christianity offers wonderful spiritual blessings. But Hebrews 11 says, these all died in faith, not having received those promises, but having seen them afar off and greeted them and embraced them and confessed, we're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So come what may, the persecutions, tribulations, and trials that are going to come, we can endure them. But we have to be prepared for them. Jesus is very clear there. And if I have a rocky heart, when those things hit, and they're going to hit, and there's one of two things. They can either break up those rocks, and I can gain that perseverance, and I can gain that ability to remain under and be strong, or I'm going to fall away just like the Lord said. Now, the issues where Job had perseverance, of course, we remember the story. I've just kind of cut it short here. But, of course, Job lost everything in one day. Lost his family, all of his possessions in one day. And the servants came one after another. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And suddenly Job finds, as he says at the end of this, verse 21, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Could we do that? Could you lose everything tomorrow? Your family, your possessions, your relationships that you have. Could we go through that and still say, I'm going to serve the Lord? Doesn't matter what happens to me. My relationship to the Lord can't be bought or sold with physical blessings or blessings of family and friendship and all other relationships except the one with God. Is that the most important one? And would we be willing to lose all of those other relationships in order to gain that? Jesus said that can happen. You can find yourself in a situation. I didn't come to bring peace, he said. I came to bring a sword. Now, he didn't really come to bring a sword. He came to bring the truth, but the truth is a sword. And when the truth comes into the lives of certain individuals, they become angry, become bitter, they become militant, they become enemies. And then we have to make a choice, the truth or the friend. And when that happens, something has to be in between called perseverance or the ability to abide under certain trials and difficulties in order to truly manifest to God and man, the truth is more important to me than anything else. And then, of course, after he lost his health in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. But then the friends came. And the friends condemned him. And that hurt. I think that must have been, that's when Job starts to crack a little bit. They start moving his mind in certain directions. And Job has no answers, no relief. And for a short time, he's not even sure where God is anymore, but he says, I don't care. Even though I die, I will not renounce God. I will not turn my back on God. Now, Satan didn't think he had that. And God knew he did. But Job didn't know it, but Job suffered for a purpose, and that's what the passage in James is dealing with. Do you see the end intended by the Lord? All Job could see, I lost my possessions, I lost my health, I lost my reputation, I lost the love and comfort of my wife, I was living in misery with boils that were breaking out and scraping the pus off and not able to sleep, and life was just so difficult, and he didn't know why. But James said, and let's go back and just quickly look at that again. James said, you have seen the end intended by the Lord. Now, the end intended by the Lord was that Job would learn and grow and develop, and God would restore to him. Matter of fact, at the end of the book, he gets twice as much as he had. It was not God's intention for Job to lose anything. It was God's intention to use one of the greatest men that has ever lived. I mean, that's pretty clear as the book opens. He was a blameless and upright man, one who turned from evil, and God says, I don't have anyone like him on the earth. Now, I don't know who was alive at that time, but whoever was alive at that time, whether this is before the flood or after the flood, it doesn't seem likely it was after the or before the flood, but it does seem likely that it was sometime around the time of Abraham, because Job lives at least 200 or 300 years, because he's lived long enough to have 10 children. And have all of them die, and then he lives long enough to have more children and see them to the third and fourth generation. So he has a long life, a life we don't really see after the times of Abraham, because the lifespan begins to drop off. But regardless, whether Melchizedek was here, whether Abraham was here, we don't know who was there. But we know this, of all the people on the earth, God says, I don't have anybody like Job. This man is a perfect and upright man who turns away from evil and who is devoted to God. But he had a purpose. He had a need for Job. He had a need for Job to do something so that here we are, what, thousands of years later? And we're still able to say, you know, Job could do that. Now, God needed Job to do that so we could say that. We see the end intended by the Lord. Now, Jesus did the same thing. Jesus suffered tremendous things. Why? So we could be saved. Now, we may not know why we're suffering. We may not have a clue as to what these problems or difficulties are leading to. But we know this, the end intended by the Lord, count it all joy when you fall into manifold trials. Why? Because it will give you this perseverance. So, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, which is, again, the Greek word hupomone, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I guess you can't see it either very well. Sorry about that. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I don't know what your threshold is. Sometimes I don't even know what my threshold is. In other words, where is it where finally we start to crack? We start to think to ourselves, man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make it through this. I don't know if I can go through this. And what do we do? Well, if you lack wisdom, ask God. God will give us the wisdom to gain perseverance. God will give us the wisdom to get us through any situation. But you have to be honest. When we find ourselves in a situation where, as Jesus points out in the parable of the sower, if we find ourselves with the thorn starting to choke the word, if we find ourselves with the tribulations and persecutions because of the word causing us to totter a little bit, when we find ourselves in situations where our heart seems a little bit hard, we need to go to verse 5. We need to pray. I don't have a wisdom, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to break these rocks up. I don't know how I'm going to get through this terrible trial. I don't know how I can do this, Father. I see these thorns and they're just choking me and they're beginning to bring me down. And I need, Father, I need your wisdom and I need help. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives it all liberally. Well, we need this perseverance. We need this perseverance when we see ourselves when the cares of the world, desires for other things are choking out the word. We need perseverance. We need perseverance to start pulling out those weeds and cutting them down and getting those things out of our life. As Paul said in Romans chapter 13, don't make provisions to the flesh to fulfill those lusts. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. If your foot causes you to stumble, that's a painful process, and I need endurance to do that. But you know something, brethren? Sometimes things just get all around us, and we're right on the verge of falling. But we don't have to fall. Like I said, those three soils, or those four soils, they're not fixed. You can have a good and honest heart, and you can let thorns in. You can have a good and honest heart, and you can let those rocks back in, or those rocks will come about. Job had a good and honest heart, and those rocks came. He broke them down. But as he points out here in verse 2, when you fall into these various trials, just understand something. Your faith is being tested, and it's going to produce something. And what it's going to produce is going to help you. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. One of the songs in our songbook. So in the midst of pain, there's joy. And this is critical. Let's read this verse. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have had our access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, this is one side of our relationship with God. This is our covenant relationship. This is the every spiritual blessing that is given to us when we enter into Christ and has no bearing on the physical life at all. Physical life can be good, have no spiritual blessings. Physical life can be bad, have every spiritual blessing. People don't know, they can't assess their relationship with God from what's going on in this world. Verses 1 and 2 is telling us, if we're a Christian, this is our relationship. But then we go to verse 3, not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations. Well, wait a minute, if I'm justified by faith and I have peace with God and I have access into this grace and I hope in the glory of God, why are there going to be tribulations? Shouldn't those all be removed now? No, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. God needs soldiers. God needs people who are willing to suffer hardship, like Paul said, and no soldier on service entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. So we rejoice in our tribulations. And you may be sitting there saying, well, I don't. I don't rejoice in my tribulations. I'm reading this verse and I'm going, Paul, I don't do that. Well, there's a light bulb, right? There's something wrong. If you say that, I don't feel like that, then what did James say? Let him ask for wisdom. Rejoice in our tribulations. Rejoicing in tribulations, it comes. I got to tell you, when I was 19, 20, 21, I read this verse. I don't get it. But after all of these years, I understand now how you can have joy in the midst of the worst pain, because as you're going through the pain and you're seeing yourself going through it in a way that you know God's going to be pleased with, and there's just this sense of accomplishment. I'm not saying that the tribulation, you're still weeping. We weep with those that weep. They're still weeping. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Jesus wept, but he could still rejoice. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? He found joy in those tribulations. That's the difference between a mature Christian and one that's growing. So, not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation works perseverance. In the Old Testament, there's a passage in the Proverbs that says, as iron strikes iron and sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of another. Now, when you've got a grinding wheel and you put that piece of metal up to the grinding wheel and you see those sparks flying, you know something's happening to that metal. It's getting hot. I tried to do it once without my gloves on. I found out pretty quickly that's not a very smart thing to do, to be holding onto a piece of metal as it's because it gets hot. And it gets hot because it is going through a process of being sharpened and being strengthened. Well, That's what these tribulations do. These tribulations put our soul into a situation where it's going to spark and it's going to get hot and it's going to get painful. But it sharpens. And then this sharpening creates this sense of approvedness, which means I'm getting a clearer sense that I'm what God wants me to be. That this faith that God has asked me to have and that James has described is a faith that is a working faith and a faith that is committed. When we see ourselves going through these tribulations and remaining faithful, it gives us a sense, I can do this. It gives us a sense, I'm what I should be. And that's what brings hope to us. And so Paul is pretty clear here that we have this one side of our relationship with God, which is fixed and absolute, and that is I'm in a covenant with God, and as long as I have faith that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that faith is working the way that it's supposed to be working, my salvation is absolutely and completely safe and fixed. And so we have that. And that's what he's just finished. Remember, we've just finished chapter 4, which we were talking about last week, where God made all these promises to Abraham and also to us that we're made righteous by faith. So being justified or made right with God by faith, we have peace with God and through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we also still have tribulations. But tribulations work perseverance. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, he says this, "Since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight or encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles or ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, that you may not grow weary and lose heart." Now, this verse perfectly plugs in to the sermon or the parable of the sower. He that was sown among the rocky places is he who receives the word of God with joy, but in times of persecution and tribulation, he falls away. Well, here's the answer to that. If I'm tottering on the edge of that and I'm worried about it, here's the answer. I've got a great cloud of witnesses. Let's sit down and read. That's why we spend so much time on the Old Testament Bible characters. Every one of those characters has a story to tell, and some of those stories we really need to hear because they're about us. There are some people in the Old Testament I feel a great affinity toward because they have my personality, and some of them have my circumstances and situations, and so I can relate to them. I look at people, and I look at what they're struggling with, and I say to myself, there's a man who, or there's a woman who is dealing with the same kind of things I am, and here's what they did, and here's how they got through it. And so we have this great cloud of witnesses. So what do? Well, we do the same thing they did. We lay aside the encumbrances. We get rid of those rocks that could keep the roots from going down. Well, how do we do that? Well, we run with endurance the race that is set before us. I just have to get through today. I don't have to finish the rest of my life. I just have to get through today. I'm not going to renounce the Lord. I'm not going to fall away. I'm not going to give in to this. I'm not going to allow this to cause me to lose everything or throw it away. I'm not going to be like Esau. I'm not going to destroy or lose my birthright because of this issue. So we lay aside the encumbrances, whatever they are. We lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us, first by repenting of it and getting it out of our life, and secondly by removing the various things that lead us back to it. And then we just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And we endure. Ask Jeff about endurance, running a marathon. Ask him about what happens and how he keeps going, because that's the clue. That's the key. That's the key. Verse 2, fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus has already done it. No one has ever had a greater battle, greater tribulations, and greater difficulties than the Lord, and he got through them all because of the joy that was set before him. I think that's how Job got through it. And I think that's how all the prophets got through it. There's just that little glimmer of hope. That little glimmer. Now, it may not be a lot, because when you're really down and you're really crushed under it and you're asking God to put you to death, clearly there's it's just about to go out. But there's just enough there. One more step. One more step. And the sun continues to rise, and we come back to ourselves. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, it'd be good to hear, I don't have it here, but it'd be good to hear to have the balancing scale. Because here you have the approval of God, and here you have the gainsaying of sinners. And you have, well done, good and faithful servant here, and you have these terrible things that sinners are saying. But for the joy, the opportunity of that, we can endure. We can get through one more day. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, it's interesting. I didn't cover it, but if you go back, well, let's go back. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 if you have your Bible here. Let's just look at some of the things Paul says, let's keep saying Paul. The Hebrew writer says, we got to get that straight, right? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, I personally think this is talking about the people in Acts 2. I personally think that this is talking about those people who went through the giving of their means to supply Barnabas selling his property, Saul of Tarsus coming in, persecuting the church and casting men into prison. And so recall the former days which, after you were enlightened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Well, that sounds good. But now, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of the God, you may receive the promise. It seems like these people are now having the rocky soil. It seems like these people, he's concerned that they're going to fall away. And that's why he reminds them, verse 37. Now, this is a direct quotation from Habakkuk, and Habakkuk was in the same position a lot of us are in right now, and that is, Lord, why are you allowing this nation to crumble in front of my eyes? Why are you allowing this nation? Justice never goes forth. It's the wicked are taking full control, and there's something that needs to be done. And God says, well, I've got it covered, Habakkuk. I'm going to bring Babylon in here, and I'm going to destroy Jerusalem, and I'm going to remove Judea, and I'm going to take them captive. Well, Habakkuk said, wait a minute, that's not quite what I had in mind. I just wanted you to take out some of these wicked people. Well, God tells him, a little while, he who is coming will come. Now, that's Babylon. Will not tarry. Now the just shall live by his faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Now, what's the transition? You see these people doing everything they're supposed to be doing in verse, 32 there. The former days you were illuminated. You endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations. They handled it. And now here we are, 30 years in. Verse 35, do not cast away your confidence, for you have need of endurance. Well, that means they don't have it. They need it. They need to be praying, and they need to be aware of it. And brethren, so do we. We just don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We have enough faith, and we have enough endurance to get through today. But tomorrow may bring something we were never anticipating, just like happened to Peter in that situation where he denied the Lord three times. God just doesn't, it seems from this verse and from all these verses we've looked, God doesn't seem to have a lot of sympathy for those of us who crumble in a tough time because he knows we didn't have to. He knows we could have got through that. Like I said, you just have to tell yourself, one more day. One more day, one more hour, one more minute. I mean, I don't know how far ahead we should get. Sometimes the Lord says that sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. But if I can just get through today, tomorrow might be better, or I might be better to handle it, but I'm not going to give in today. I'm going to hold on. But if you faint in the day of adversity, God doesn't have a lot of sympathy for that. The last verse I want to look at this evening is this one in 2 Timothy 2. It says, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. Now that's baptism. Very clearly put forth in Colossians. He says that we died with him, we were buried with him, and then if you died with him, then set your mind on things that are above. So we died with him when we were baptized, and now we live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. You see, endurance is something that all Christians need, and it's not something that you just naturally have. You may have enough, and you may have a lot more than some people, but that may not be enough. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But I know this, if we endure, we'll reign with him. But if we deny him, if we go the other direction, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things. And so that's what we've done in this lesson. We've just kind of taken some stock. We've looked at some things, and we have to take, brethren, we have to know ourselves. We have to know where we are. You may be stronger than you've ever been today, or you may be weaker, because that's how life is. It just ebb and flow. Difficulties arise, we grow from them, then we get knocked down, and maybe we feel like we're just about as low as we've ever been, but we just pick ourselves up, and then we get up and we find ourselves higher than we've ever been, and then God gets us ready for another set of these things so we can grow some more, because we all have to go through situations like Job, and we all have to go through situations. The Lord needs soldiers who are willing to suffer hardship. And so, as we take stock of this, we all have to look into our hearts, because many of us have borne the heat of the battle, but if you get tired, you need endurance. We can't quit. We can't fall away. If we fall away, we lose everything we work so hard for. I don't know about you, but after 40 years, I don't want to throw that away. And so, we all need to be aware, but it can happen. And you see it happen sometimes. People that you never would have dreamed. And they lose it all. They throw it all away. And it's just heartbreaking. And you just think to yourself, I wish I'd talk to them about this more. I wish that, because once they're there, you can't get them back. So let's go ahead and pick up our songbooks and look at number 322. And as we sing this song, let's think about our personal lives. And if there's anything in our lives that need to be worked on or changed over, or maybe this evening we need to obey the gospel, or maybe this evening we need to publicly confess our sins. But whatever we can do, or whatever help you need, I hope that you will take advantage of it while we together stand and sing.